let's say hello to my special guests, and we'll tell you all about their stories in just a minute. Diana Valencia and Rosalinda Salinas Holtman. Am I correct? Look at
that's
that.
Right.
You didn't think
that's
I
right.
you didn't think I knew that, did you?
No, Linda, I didn't.
Okay, Rosalinda, I want you to face that microphone,
okay.
No matter what you do. I don't care whatever you do on this planet. You're going to face that microphone.
All right, I will try.
Because I want to hear every single word you have to say. And these ladies are here today to talk about the 250th birthday of the United States. And they're going to tell you some stories that you don't really hear publicized a lot. And they're called the Untold Stories. And it's about a migration of people from South to North and how they helped make this country what it is today. And let's get a little background on our guest first. Rosalinda, you are from the United. You were born here, though, right?
Right. I am born and raised in Racine.
A local yokel. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to call me that. my mother was from St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah. So she grew up next to the Mississippi.
Okay. And grandparents?
Are from Mexico.
From Mexico. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, they migrated.
At 13 years old, my grandmother married my grandfather and came this way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
To a brand new country. Did they speak the language when they came here?
No, but when I met her when I was 7, she spoke English with us. So I thought all of Mexico spoke English. Yes.
It's not true. Because I've been overseas and we tend to think everybody speaks English and they don't. And the other thing I was telling you ladies that Americans tend to think if we speak slower and louder, they will understand English. But it doesn't work like that. Okay, Diana, you're from?
Racine, Wisconsin.
Another local yokel. Okay. And where are your parents from?
San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, I love that city. That's a nice city.
Yes.
Now, your grandparents are from?
Mexico.
Okay, from Mexico.
But we usually are told to say we're from Mexico ever since it was America. Because Texas was always Mexico.
Right. It was. Yeah. Yes. So it was part of California.
Yes.
Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost what? Half of the United States. So we come from a long line of natives.
Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about what you're doing at the public library. Obviously, there was a reason for putting this together. Once you guys tell me about it.
So we were looking at all this celebration and I'm thinking, yes, but there are so many stories behind the celebration. So we don't say celebration, but what do we use the word?
Recognition.
We recognize the backstories, to the rights that gave us the rights to vote, the women's rights for the LGBTQ, the indigenous people. We have rights. And how did that come about? So we look at the history behind that. And that's how that came about, the untold stories.
And you got the public library involved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they said, yes, you can use one of our rooms.
Yes, and they helped us with information. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Racine, what is that?
The Racine Heritage
Museum.
Yes, and matter of fact, I'll be chatting with Chris Paulson over there.
Yes.
Because WRJN is celebrating 100 years on the air December 6th, and they're giving us space for a nice exhibit of 100 years of stuff from this radio station. And we gather a lot of stuff over 100 years. You don't realize how much memorabilia you have. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the programs that we didn't get to on June 27th. Indigenous Peoples History of America. Let's talk about that. How did that go?
That went really well with Starla Thompson. She is Potawatomi, and she told us not only her story, but the story of this area and of the United States and how the indigenous people were taken, the children were taken, mm-hmm. and that history and what it leaves, the generational trauma that is created through that. And, of course, the missing women and children that is happening now.
Yeah, it's a sad story. I just got done watching the Ken Burns documentary, The American Revolution, all 12 hours of it.
Mm.
And it wasn't a win-win for indigenous people in this country. It was a win-win for the settlers and the patriots, and they got England out, and they got their land. But the indigenous people, the Native Americans, they didn't win-win during that. And then July 8th You had accessibility and inclusion. Let's talk about that.
That was fun. They were very interactive, and Carlos Mireles, who is a local person, he's also drawn these pictures that you see on our posters, he's an artist. He's a local artist. He's a nurse that many people know and appreciate and love. And he told us about how he got involved with this, with accessibility, with the wheelchair basketball. He's a coach mm-hmm. there. And that is where he met Jen, who is one of the members of a winning team, women's team. And it was well visited. Also, we also learned something from her and him that this accessibility, we take for granted that we can do everything, reach everything, which they cannot. And one of them was to get into a meeting to talk about accessibility, because there's only stairs and you have a wheelchair and where are you going and come down to me kind of thing. So that was really interesting. And that we, as the committee, never thought about the hearing impaired, that they needed help. And so we were left with our, red face, all embarrassed, that we didn't think of those things. We ourselves should be thinking about the accessibility, other types of accessibility and inclusion.
When I worked at a radio station in Milwaukee, my boss was in a wheelchair most of his life, since 11 years old. And I had to move him around this country because we had to go to meetings, different parts of the country, and I had to deal with him in his wheelchair. And it wasn't easy. I mean, even getting on a plane wasn't easy. And he belonged to a wheelchair bowling league. And then once they had radio night, he said, I need you to bowl on our team. Oh, that's a breeze. I couldn't get the ball down the alley sitting in that wheelchair, because we tend to think we could just roll the ball next to it, but you got to get that ball away from the wheels. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I realize how uneasy it was to do something like this. Not easy at all. And I said, well, how do you bowl like that? You know, a few times you'll learn how to do it, but you're not in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. So it's not important to you to figure it out. But he just passed away about 2 years ago. And for 10 years, we just traveled the country when we had to go to meetings, and it's not easy.
No.
I mean, the world wasn't built for wheelchair people.
Exactly. And that's what it all actually started with Carlos saying, you know, this picture that we have here and that you could see on the website is where Carlos Mireles shows the pictures of how it was difficult to go into any type of meeting because it was just stairs. So it took quite a few people to even change policy so we can have accessibility. So, and Racine, Wisconsin had a huge part of that. So we were not just Innovation City. We were also a city that helped create policies to help people have a better today.
But we have a ramp in the back. There's two doors in the building. We had a ramp back there for people like Bill, who so he was doing some work for us. And one day I said, where is he? He's sitting outside in his chair in front of the steps. I said, what are you doing out there? He said, looking like the poster boy for the American Disabilities Act. I said, you know there's a ramp in the back. Go back there. You don't have to park your chair over here. Get in the back and just wheel up the thing. The door's open. But he was sitting there for 20 minutes looking like the poster boy for the American Disabilities Act. I said, there's a ramp. Go back there. You can figure it out. Okay. Quick break.
We seniors, I'm a senior citizen now. Yeah. We seniors appreciate all that hard work they did because it made it easy for us now.
he was one of my best friends. I mean, he was the quietest guy. I could tell you a million stories about him in that chair. When I did the eulogy at his funeral, I said, I could spend hours with him in that chair, schlepping him around this country with that. And it wasn't easy.
No.
I mean, it got easier, but it wasn't easy.
It wasn't.
We are chatting this morning with Diana Valencia and also Rosalinda Salinas Haltman. And we're talking about migration stories at the Racine Public Library. Let's talk about the current one coming up. And this will be July 16th in the community room. And the name of the program is Migration Stories, the Latino Experience in Racine, 250 years, the untold story. Mm-hmm. What are people going to hear when they get there?
Well, you'll get a taste of why somebody will come from wherever they come from. They leave their happy homes. Migration actually happens due to economic issues, safety concerns, family needs, or environmental pressures. So here in Racine, the earliest Europeans came from, I often talk about the skilled laborers, the migrant due to rural poverty, religious prosperity demands, prosecution. The Black community have been recorded here in Racine since 1838. Also doing that, but we're going to be talking a lot about the Latino community, specifically people from Mexico and Texas, why they came from the South to the North. What made them leave their beautiful towns?
I would say jobs are probably number one.
Super.
And a better life for their children, education and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you ladies that my mother-in-law came from David, Panama, when she was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She decided to come all the way up here. She went by herself, from what I hear. And she had relatives in this country. But, you know, you come into a country, you don't speak the language, you're 14 years old, you're all by yourself. And she made her way up here and found a life here. And I married her daughter.
Congratulations.
So look at me. I'm the lucky one. If she hadn't come here, I wouldn't have had the love of my life.
So look at that. And I think many people can say that. Rosa, share a little bit about your family.
Which one?
Let's go with your mom.
Okay, so she was a migrant worker, and she left. She is actually from St. Louis, Missouri. So she says she's from the North, right? yes, the North. Her father took her back to Mexico with her siblings, and. At 14, she said, I can't live this way. And her mother put her and her sister on the train to the States. Now, they were American citizens, of course, because they were born in St. Louis. And then they traveled, picked cotton, beets, apples. They were all over the United States. And that's how she met my father, who said, that work is just too hard for me. He worked on the train, the railroads. He was a tanner, and he was he ended up in J.I. Case, and there he was a machinist for 50 years.
And when you were born in Racine?
In Racine.
Okay.
1955.
Okay.
And we lived in a little house forever. And I asked him why do we live here in this little tiny house in this area? And it was by Lutheran High, if anybody knows that, Island Park. And we were the only Latinos there, the only Chicanos there. And I didn't understand many things happening to us. But he said, I want to give you a good education. This is the best school. So there you have it. He had that in mind, that he wants to give his children a better life.
So if people want to hear the stories, that's coming up July 16th. What time is that, you know?
5:30.
What time is it?
5:30.
5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it says right here, 5:30 to 7:30, right in front of my face.
It's Thursday.
And I thought I had a good education. It's right in front of my eyes. 5:30 to 7:30 in the community room at the Racine Public Library. There's no charge. Just come on in. And... Maria Morales, she's the director for the elderly at the League of United Latin American Citizens, and she's going to do the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You have the intro, right?
Yes, of course, because I'm the deputy state director for the League of United Latin American Citizens, so we united at getting as many people that we knew from Racine that would come and share the stories. So it's going to be wonderful. People may know the history of Helen Castaneda. She was one of the first Hispanics born here in Racine. Well, that's going to be shared. What's really going to be awesome is the Racine Heritage Museum will be assisting us by not just sharing her story, but teaching us and the community how to do this so we don't lose our history.
Chris Paulson, who's the at the Racine Heritage Museum, helps us a lot. And we do a lot of work with the Racine Public Library. Mm-hmm. So you're in good hands over there.
Oh, awesome hands.
There was a documentary. My wife actually gave me the DVD years ago, but I remember seeing it in school. They showed it to us. Edward R. Murrow filmed it. It was called Harvest of Shame. You ever used to hear that? It was shown on Thanksgiving Day on CBS, and it was about all the migrant workers who came from Mexico, Latin America, and they're the ones that pick the food that you're eating today on Thanksgiving. And he showed the deplorable conditions people were living in, these migrant workers, and how they'd go from farm to farm. Their kids were living in squalor. And it was, I think it was filmed in the late 50s, could have been the mid 50s, but they only showed it once on Thanksgiving Day. And I have the DVD, and it's really, you know, think back to how you got this food. It just didn't magically appear on your table. Somebody had to pick it. And a lot of them are migrant workers from the south of us. And so so before you belittle anybody or make any snide remarks, you know, people helped us. And they came, a lot of them came in illegally, but they worked. Not that they just sat on their haunches like people on radio.
Well, you get to meet somebody like me who actually worked on the farm and enjoyed it because of all the people that came before me to make this the farm working industry an industry that was a living wage and so many improvements of what it was once in the 50s and 60s. So come listen to the untold stories and hear some of the, about the awesome successes of people.
I would never have made it because I don't even like mowing a lawn.
Can I just say
I cut cabbage?
Can I just say we also and you will meet people that have in our generation have worked during the summer in the fields, and my family was one of them as well, and it was not fun. So she may have enjoyed it. She's much younger. I did not.
Let's talk about the other programs straight ahead. These are the programs we're looking at after the program coming up. The next one, we're going to have what now?
It's the Queer History in Racine with Carl Hubbard, which is going to be promising. Mr. Carl Hubbard is another local yokel. He's been here for many years, and he has interesting stories to tell about a community that have always been around. We've always had people. Why we accept people is why Coming Together Racine, Crossroads. We created these venues to have conversations, courageous conversations. And you'll come to hear a courageous conversation with Carl Hubbard.
And that's on July 22nd, 7:30 p.m. And let's talk about the next one, too. July 23rd, the next day. At 5:30 p.m., the history of Black music. Yes. That should be interesting.
Oh, it is. With Dr. Kitchen. Oh, I even hear of when I was marketing, handing out information, inviting people, his own students. One of the of his students are going to be one of the singers for the suffrage movement. So it's going to be exciting how everything comes together.
Well, this is a great program. Mm-hmm. It's called Migration Stories. And the next one coming up is July 16th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Community Room at the Public Library, the Racine Public Library out there on the lake. And it's called The Untold Stories. And this is good stuff. I'm glad you ladies put it together and your organization put it together. And glad the library and the Racine Heritage Museum got on board and helped out with it.
Yes, and everyone's welcome, and you're welcome to join us in Coming Together Racine.
Diane Valencia and Rosalinda Salinas Holtman, thank you for contacting me, Rosalina. I do appreciate it. Rosalinda. When I called you Rosalina?
Yes, most people do, actually.
Last night at the Racine Concert Band concert, it was a woman from Argentina, and I rehearsed her name all week, her last name, and I get up there, and I blew it. I said, all week I'm rehearsing this name under pressure. I got her name wrong. It was a very long name. And she corrected me. I had a rolling R in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. That part I got, but I got the middle of the name wrong. And I said, you know, all week I was practicing this name. And I get here and the pressure and I couldn't do it. Rosalinda.
Yes.
There you go. And Diana. Thank you very much, ladies. And You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
We'll return.
Yeah, okay. You'll take me up on it. Good. That's what I hope.